Rosie TV.
I'm going to tell you something really funny. Starting with a comment that was made on today's video, or no, yesterday's video. You're watching today's video by Gabriel Alexander, good friend, fine believer. I met him, man, I think it was back in 2014, wasn't it, Gabriel, in Vancouver, Washington? Yeah, that group there flew me up from, I was living in Sao Paulo, Brazil at the time, had not started the Revelation series yet, and there was a conference up in Vancouver, Washington, and I was invited up there. I said, yeah, because they had no pepper in Sao Paulo, Brazil. There was no pepper. You go to get eggs, and they got salt. I said, excuse me, where's the pepper? I couldn't speak any Portuguese. I had the salt in one hand, and the other hand, I looked at it like this, like, isn't there something missing? No, they don't have pepper. Anytime I asked for pepper, they had to go back to the kitchen. 10 minutes would go by, 15 minutes. They had conferences and everything, and people were whispering and pointing at me and everything, and finally somebody would come, like, with a handful of pepper. I don't know how they got it, but I was so happy when I flew back to the U.S. for that 5 days for that conference. First thing I did when I had a layover in Dallas-Fort Worth Airport was I ordered eggs with lots of pepper. I mean, I ordered eggs, and in front of me was a white shaker and a black shaker. I'm like, yes, I'm back in paradise. Speaking of paradise, that's what the humorous thing is about. We're going to talk about Paul. Did he go into paradise? Is the paradise on the new earth? What was Paul doing on the new earth if he's a heaven guy? All these questions and more will be answered today on MZTV. Welcome, everyone. I'm Martin Zender, your host. I'd like to thank Elaine for getting me another mug. Elaine, our sister, she calls herself Elaine Remains. I don't think that's her actual last name, Remains, but she's a very clever woman, and she had designed this mug for me. Actually, she sent me a prototype of this must be 5 years ago now. And this was my favorite mug, Martin Zender, the second idiot in heaven. Just a really great design. And what happened was finally, like last month, I broke it. I had it for like 5 years and I slipped out of my hand. I was washing it. My hands were soapy and it shattered. And I just stared at the ground like, oh, no, because it was one of a kind. But apparently it's not one of a kind. You can order it. And I hadn't heard from Elaine for a long time, and she wrote, said, how you doing? I said, not too good. She said, what's wrong? I said, my Martin Zender, the second idiot in heaven mug broke. And so apparently this design is on record somewhere on some mug company, and she sent me another one. God bless you. So Elaine, I hope you're watching. Thank you. My life is complete again. So Gabriel Alexander wrote this on yesterday's show. He says, Martin, with all due respect, I have to differ with you on this statement at minute 27:07. This is a quote from yours truly from yesterday's show. Paul went to the third heaven, not to the third earth, and he couldn't even speak of it when he returned because it was so magnificent, unquote. Yes, that is exactly what I said. Gabriel says, here's the text from the scriptures from 2 Corinthians 12, and I'm going to look at this too, but I'm reading it from the email. I'm acquainted with a man in Christ 14 years before this, whether in a body, I am not aware, or outside of a body, I am not aware. God is aware. Such a one was snatched away to the third heaven. And I am acquainted with such a man, whether in a body or outside a body, I am not aware. God is aware that he was snatched away into paradise. And here's ineffable declarations, which it is not allowed a man to speak. And we're going to look at this exact wording. Gabriel goes on in the unveiling chapter 2, that is Revelation chapter 2, we read this, quote, to the one who is conquering, to him will be granted to be eating of the log of life, which is in the center of the paradise of God. Gabriel closes this way. In Corinthians, Paul tells us that he was snatched away to two different places, to the third heaven and into the paradise, which according to the unveiling will be on the earth. It was in paradise that Paul heard ineffable declarations, which is not allowed a man to speak, not in the third heaven. If I'm not reading these texts correctly, please correct me. My immediate answer was this. This is what you'll find funny. I said, I would say you are correct. Well, yeah, there it says, snatched away into paradise, man. And I wasn't careful. I just thought, what a relief to finally be wrong about something. I mean, it was a strange sensation. It felt kind of good, like I was being delivered from some burden. And I just said, yeah, I would say you're correct. And I didn't even look at it. I didn't think twice about it. I didn't go back to listen to what I'd said. It was just like, oh, yeah, you're right. Good job. Boom. And so an hour went by, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. This is literal. 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours, 9 hours later, I'm standing in the kitchen going, and was I wrong? I just said I was wrong just for the thrill of it. And it was thrilling. But now I find out the burden is back on that I was not wrong. And Gabriel Alexander is his name. He's a great sport. I mean, what a gracious way to end. If I'm not reading these texts correctly, please correct me. Robert Lakey, the same way. I could be wrong, he says. These guys are so humble, such good students. They're always looking into the scriptures, uncovering what God has graciously uncovered for us in the Word of God. But let me read this out of the Concordant Literal New Testament. I mean, Gabriel was quoting it out of the Concordant Literal New Testament, but I got my handy dandy second one. I can't even turn the pages on my first one. It's so collapsed, but here we go. I'm just going to read the pertinent parts here. We know that Paul says, I'm acquainted with the man who 14 years before this was snatched away to, look at the wording here. This is what I want to look at. He was snatched away to the third heaven. And then he says something strange. He says, and I'm acquainted with such a man, whether in a body or outside of the body, I'm not aware, God is aware, that he was snatched away into paradise. Into paradise. And the into is in dark face type. So it's curious that he said he was snatched away to the third heaven. And then he says he was snatched away into paradise. He does not say to paradise. If, as Gabriel was hypothesizing here, if he had gone to both places, wouldn't it have said, God is aware such a one was snatched away to the third heaven, and then he was snatched away to paradise? But it doesn't say that. And this is the key to the whole thing. And this really isn't the thrust of my talk today. Maybe it'll end up being the thrust, but I want to talk about why the folks living on the new earth are, many of them, still mortal beings. They're not immortal, but they're kept alive. All this to show you that death is not abolished until the consummation of the eons, and that doesn't happen until Eon 5 has run its course. And we do not know how long Eon 5 is. We know that Eon 4, the 1,000 years, is, here we go again, 1,000 years. 1,000 years is God's concession to Israel. Here I go on another topic. I'm going to get back to this. You're going to be amazed, astounded. The 1,000 years is actually a concession God makes to Israel. In other words, he's used them for these centuries to be a before picture, to be an example of how flesh and blood is not able to do the things of God. And they're really, I'm sorry, in general, they're hard-hearted and stiff-necked. That's scripture. That's not me. They're a disaster every step of the way. There are some shining moments when God picks out a few and puts his spirit on them and they write the scriptures, Yes, there are some fine examples of God supernaturally infusing his spirit excessively on certain of the Israelites, and they do spectacular things. David, Samson. Those are the only two I can think of right now. But at the same time, these same people, David and Samson, do horrible things. So, yeah, both involving women, strangely enough. What is it with women? No, that's another show. But Israel's gone. God has taken Israel. They haven't decided to go on this journey. God has dragged Israel through this miserable demonstration. And they're still suffering. And God promised them a kingdom. And, of course, he gave them the law. And he gave them a way to be forgiven when they failed the law. And it's just so frustrating for them. Then they get to the door of the kingdom at the coming of our Lord. And they see the kingdom withdrawing after all these miracles. The Messiah is on the earth, fulfills scripture. Surely the kingdom is coming now. And the disciples thought the same thing. Well, they suspected it, and it should have, but it did not because of this unprophesied time period called the era of the nations. And so you got to feel sorry for Israel. And then we have some people called replacement theologians or spiritual Israel people who think that, they just blew it. They crucified their Messiah. God's done with that people. He's not going to fulfill any of the promises to them, literally. He's going to call it a different people, us, Americans and Brits and French and anybody but Israelites. And he's going to spiritually fulfill his promises to Israel and to people who aren't even Israelites. This is absurd. It's ridiculous. It's called replacement theology. It's also called the spiritual Israel thing. It's a theory. It's a lark. It's a joke because it is an insult to God to think that he won't literally fulfill his promises to the literal people he promised them to. And yet he uses these people, they're a guinea pig nation. I've called them that again and again. Don't mean to seem disrespectful. How could anyone take offense? Well, yeah, I can see how somebody could. But God has used them through the millennia as a bad example, as an object lesson, again, that flesh and blood cannot do the things of God. And so the 1,000 years is a concession to this. I'm just saying that because 1,000 years is so short compared to the 4,000 or 5,000 years God's been wrestling with them, and they've been wrestling with God, the way I should put it, speaking relatively, of course. Only 1,000 years? But God is just, and he's fair, and he's righteous, and so he feels obligated to reward these people, to reward them. The problem is, everybody thinks that this is that the 1,000 years is what God is driving for, that this is his dream come true. Finally, the millennium has arrived. Now I bring my people to Israel, and it's just the greatest thing. No, it's just God giving them a concession, like a home version of the game. They have not won anything, and he's just feeling a little guilty about it. And so he gives them a consolation prize, and the consolation prize is the millennium. Tell you what I'm going to do, since I know you can't do the law. I'm going to make you do the law. I'm going to write the law on your hearts, on your mind. I'm going to write it there. I'm going to just cause you to do it. And you're going to do it for 1,000 years. It's going to be great. But God, in the meantime, can't wait to get to Aeon 5. You're absolutely right. It's still Israel in Aeon 5. But all the promises he gave them were concerning mainly their priesthood with the temple and their role as the intermediaries between God and man. So he's still rewarding them in Aeon 5 in that they're kings. But there's not much happening. Listen to this. I'm just thinking of this. There's not much happening in Aeon 5 that was promised to them. So while I still want to call the Millennium a consolation prize. I will now say that Eon 5 for Israel is like a bonus round or the daily double. It's a grace topping. It's something that they did not expect. So all the promises, most of the promises, I'm not saying there weren't any promises for Eon 5, but all the things, the kingdom, they lived for the kingdom, they lived for the kingdom. That is so short. It's so short. God wants to get it over with and then stun them with something else. But it's not only for, of course, Israel, the 50 M, but for the human race. There's going to be lots of people on the earth. And that's a whole nother show, but I want to make sure you realize that they are mortal people. They're kept alive by the log of life that bears fruit. They drink from the river of life, and the log of life produces different fruits every month, and it's like a recharged battery. They eat the fruit and they stay alive. They're staying alive not because they're immortal, not because as we will be, we have an internal life force called the Spirit of God that is endless. We can't die anymore. We're filled full with the Spirit. These people on the new earth, the human race in general, not speaking of those immortals of Israel who will be transferred from the millennial earth to the new earth. And somebody asked me, how does that happen? What happens to these people when the old earth is destroyed and you got a bunch of people living there, including the 12 apostles and David and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? How do they get to the new earth? I love answering that question. The answer is, I have no idea how they get to the new earth. All I know is that they do. They're transferred somehow. Like a shuttle at the airport takes you from the terminal to the car rental place. So, yeah, I don't know how it happens. I just know that. I'm going to get back to Paul in the third heaven. Don't worry. In fact, I think I'm going to do it right now. But just know this, that the consummation of the eons, which happens after the new heavens and the new earth, and we have no indication that the new earth goes away. I used to think that after the fifth eon, something happens to the new earth. But why did I think that? There's no scripture says anything about that. We don't have any indication that the new earth is destroyed at the end of the Aeonian times. And I used to think that time ended when the eons ended. That was the end of time. No, I don't believe that anymore. It's the end of the Aeonian times. I thought, okay, the eons end and then we enter into eternity. How the hell do you enter into eternity? What is eternity? You know, I mean, I know it's time without end, but that's a contradiction right there. Time without end. That's a contradiction. You can't even define eternity. So it's just that the Aeonian times end, the eons end. Something happens after that. And I love to answer that question too. Martin, what happens after the consummation when God is all in all? Death is finally abolished. 1 Corinthians 15:26. Death is abolished. Martin, what happens after that? I look him straight in the eye and say, I have no idea. Except that of his kingdom, there shall be no consummation. The kingdom will consummate because Jesus Christ gives up his rule. Jesus Christ rules so well during the millennium and during the new heavens and the new earth that he eliminates the need for rule. When God is all in all, there will be no need for a kingdom. There will be no need for walls. There will be no need for anyone, not even Christ, to be over anyone else, because God will be all in all. It doesn't mean Christ still won't be Christ. It doesn't mean we still won't be the body of Christ. Christ is going to subject everything to God's feet. But that's the last subjection that will ever happen. And now everybody is like not, I will say, in God, part of God. It's not that everybody becomes God, because only God can be God. Only Christ can be Christ. We're still going to be individuals in the all in all, 1 Corinthians 15:28. People worry about that too. Martin, what happens with the all in all? Am I going to lose my identity? Am I going to become a vapor, a wisp, a nobody, a vaporous cloud of spirituality that no one can identify? No, we'll be able to identify you, madam. Oh, we'll be able to identify you to the eons and beyond. No, of course, it's God all in all. There's still each individual person there. But there's no need to subject them, is what I am trying to say. Perhaps I'm succeeding a little bit. I don't know. I'm not 100% confident I am on this point. We're talking about some big themes that Scripture doesn't say anything about. We don't know what happens after the eons end. Oh, I was given that verse from Luke 1:33 or something. Of his kingdom there shall be no consummation. Of his kingdom. The kingdom shall consummate. But the things produced by the kingdom, the goodness, will never end. Like the fruit of the kingdom. Of his kingdom there shall be no consummation. People get confused about that. They see, oh, I thought you said that everything was going to be subject to God and Christ himself would give up the kingdom. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. I'm not going to go there now. Christ himself gives up the kingdom to God. I've done it. I've ruled so well during the eons that everything's brought back into subjection to you. The people in the second death have been liberated. That's the big deal, because the second death is operating all through eon 5. All those curs, those dogs, those whoremongers, whatever a whoremonger is there. Part is in the second death, which is the lake of fire. But when death is abolished at the consummation, 1 Corinthians 15:26, then they are liberated and God is all in all. Okay. So Paul was snatched away to the third heaven. But then he says, it's almost like he's repeating it. And he doesn't add it. He doesn't say, and I was snatched away also to paradise. He uses the exact same wording. Such a one was snatched away to the third heaven. And then he says he was snatched away into paradise. Paradise. Paradisios. It's defined in the Concordant Dictionary as a place of perfect pleasure. The literal meaning is a park. The Garden of Eden was a paradise. The new earth will be a paradise. That is where Jesus will meet the thief. Jesus says to the thief in verse 43 of Luke 23, verily to you am I saying today, with me you shall be in paradise. He didn't say, verily I am saying to you today you shall be with me in paradise. That was impossible because Jesus was dead for 3 days. It's worded this way. What a difference a comma makes. Verily to you am I saying today, with me you shall be in paradise. I'm adding this next part, someday. Someday. This, because this thief's probably going to be dead. I don't know. He may be, maybe he believed in Jesus here and he's going to be alive in the former resurrection. That'd be great. Love to meet the guy. We're going to meet him anyway at the latest time at the Great White Throne. And we know he's going on to the new earth because the new earth is called a paradise. But my point here is, the large point is, Paul was snatched away to the third heaven, but it does not say that he was snatched away to paradise. He is equating the third heaven with paradise. So the third heaven was a paradise. So my point is that paradise is a generic word for a place of perfect pleasure. The Garden of Eden was a paradise. The new earth is going to be a paradise. And apparently, the new heaven is also a paradise. There's paradise there. There's a park. If you want to take it literally, let's take it literally. Let's take the element and take it literally. There's a park, a beautiful place. In a busy city such as New York City, you have Central Park. So you have this area. There's all this urban jungle out there. And then you have a park. You have this paradise area. There's birds, trees, muggers, you know, drunks sitting on the bench with bottles and paper bags. A real relief from the jungle outside of Central Park. But there are parks in every town. And they're all paradises. Are they not? Yes. So this confirms for me that Paul did not go to the new earth. He said specifically, I was snatched away to the third heaven. And he says in a parallel structure, it was also into paradise. You can read it this way. I was snatched away to the third heaven, into paradise. Yes, you can read it that way. And again, the absence of the word to in front of the word paradise tells me that he did not go to the paradise of the new earth, because he did not go to the new earth. He went to the new, he did not go to the third earth. He went to the third heaven. Third is the third heaven in time. There are three heavens and three earths throughout the aeonian time. As the first heaven and the first earth were destroyed by the disruption, this heavens, every earth has a corresponding heaven. This earth and this heaven will be destroyed at the end of Aeon 4, and then there's a new heaven and a new earth. That will be the third earth. During the five eons, there are three earths, and each earth, again, as I just said, has a corresponding heaven. And so Paul didn't go to the third heaven like an elevator. Ding! You are now in the first heaven. Ding! You are now in the second heaven. Ding! No, it's not the third heaven in space. It's the third heaven in time. So Paul goes to the third heaven that's associated with the third earth. So the heaven Paul went to, yeah, he could probably look down and see the new earth from there. Yeah, there it is. There's the new earth. Oh, I see. What's that little dot down there? Oh, that's the New Jerusalem. Oh, it's just like, how big is it? That's 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. I don't know what a mile is, but it looks pretty small. Well, we're up quite a bit here. Yeah, so he never went to the third. So I was right. I'm sorry. I was right again. I tried not to be. I really did. I tried not to be. But I was. Let me read this again. I was snatched away to the third heaven, into paradise. This tells us, and I've said this many times, the third heaven, we associate heaven with this vaporous nothingness, this cloud, this put your hand through it. But no, heaven is, I am convinced, it's, we know it's populated with spiritual beings, but it also, there are cities there. There are jurisdictions, there are administrations, there are governments, there are structures, there are buildings. And apparently now we learn from Paul, there are parks. Yes, there are beautiful parks. I was snatched away to the third heaven, i.e. to paradise. The third heaven is paradise. Paradise is a generic word. It can apply to Central Park. It can apply to the Garden of Eden. It can apply to the New Earth. And now we know that it can also apply to the third heaven.